Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
With Gillette, when we show our best side, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Game on 2FM.
It's Thursday, the 9th of April.
Coming up today, well, it's a shorter show as we make way at 6:30 for Niall Horan and Ali Sherlock in the last of the ISPCC gigs here on 2FM. But before all that, we'll be joined by new Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny.
Also, Joe Schmidt knows a thing or two about international management even. He'll be on the line shortly as well.
You can text us on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM.
GameOn2FM.
Marine O'Donoghue this evening, he took the evening Oscar ready for Niall Horan, obviously, did he?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's like something Donoghue would do, all right. The hair needs to be styled and the outfit needs to be picked, so... That's the way Donoghue rolls. You're definitely not going to Niall Horan, or you're definitely not listening to Niall Horan. You're not getting ready anyway because you've grown a beard.
Marie, you don't need to shave to listen to the radio.
I know, or but you think you'd make radio. A bit of an effort.
I will. It's the midweek. I'll tidy myself up for the weekend. For Easter Sunday, you know.
So what have you been up to? It's, I don't know, is it week 4 now in lockdown?
Feels like week 44. That movie Groundhog Day just seems to have come true. But look, obviously it's the way forward and it seems to be working. Or hopefully it's working, but I just hope the weekend and people listen to what they're being told to do.
I know, we had Brian Hurley on the show last night and he was saying, he's from Castlehaven, and he was really hammering home the message that people need to stay at home because the small villages and towns, they're not equipped to deal with the influx of people. They're trying to protect who they have there, and they don't want their supply chains and, even their roads, everything, to be busy with people coming from Dublin and wherever else they come from, Limerick, Kerry, Cork, wherever people are going, stay at home.
You dug yourself out of that one well. You've been from the country blaming the Dubs for everything. You had to add in all the rest of those counties as well.
Well, I have seen a lot of pictures of different roads and they do look really busy and most of them are coming out of Dublin. But I imagine now over the weekend we'll see a lot of the kind of small roads leading into towns and villages by the coast that are pretty full up. And I'm actually quite interested, Ruby, like you, I know, are into fixtures and how things could potentially get back to normal. What are your thoughts on maybe sport resurfacing at some stage?
I think sport will be like everything else in the country, Marie. I think economically, somewhere along the way, things are going to have to start moving forward again slowly and slowly. There's only so long you can shut the country down for before it becomes unviable for everybody. And I think sport is included in that, the same as all businesses. You heard Debenhams, 12 stores, is it gone to the wall today, not going to reopen? How many pubs are going to be in that category? And you have to wonder how many sporting bodies and clubs, racehorse trainers are going to be in the same boat. I don't think too many people can afford for this to go on that much longer either. So economically, I'm just fairly happy that I'm not in government.
Yeah, you're at the coalface of racing, though. You're talking to people all the time, not seeing them mind, but definitely talking to them. Like, what's the sense amongst the racing community about the future?
Well, all the jumping yards have closed down, so they've taken their summer holidays, basically, in the spring. So a lot of those horses have gone to grass. I can only speak for William Mullins, as he's kept all of his staff on, and they've been told they'll have to learn different jobs. So there'll be no outside contractors brought in for painting this year or washing. That'll all be his own staff will do all of that and the maintenance work. So, you know, the offshot of what's happening, the outside people won't be getting any work, but all of his employees still are. The flat racing people, I'm sure, you know, they're getting anxious. Their season is only a certain length of time anyway, and, you know, that's already been depleted. So they'll be anxious to get going. But racing is a mirror of every other sport and every other walk of life. They're all businesses. And the longer they're closed down, the more money that's being lost, the bigger the debts are going to get. And you just wonder how sustainable that's going to be, or for how long that's going to be sustainable.
And what are the horses up to at the moment?
They're doing the same as they'd be doing every day. They're just training away, same as footballers, same as soccer players. They're riding out and training away every day. And I'm listening to different sports saying, oh, we need X amount of time and Y amount of time to be ready to start again. I don't see why. Everyone's in the same boat. Nobody has an advantage. There's nobody playing friendlies behind closed doors or anything. Everybody's at the same level of fitness. So I think they should be able to start and play straight away.
Yeah, but they're not getting any contact. And contact is such a big part of sport. If you're not doing that for a long time, then it's very hard to go straight back into it. And I was just reading something the other day about when there was a layoff a few years ago because of the bad weather, there was a huge amount of ACLs when people came back because they hadn't been keeping up the conditioning as they should be. So I'm sure there's scientific research out there to back up the fact that they probably do need a certain amount of time to get back into it.
Yeah, but if I had 4 months off with injury, as soon as I started back, I was going to get a fall and the contact was going to be there. So that was part and parcel of it. I mean, the guys that are keeping up their physical work at home and are following the programs they're supposed to be following, they won't have any issue. And I don't see why they need such a long run in into the games. They're all training individually at home. They'd all be fresh and eager. And I think the best will still win.
Well, if there's any S&C coaches listening, text us into 51552. I'm sure you're a lot more learned than myself and Ruby. But what about the sharpness? I mean, when you're doing skills like hurling, you're never going to get up to match sharpness if you're just in your back garden.
No, but everybody's going to be in the same boat. Nobody's going to have an advantage. Nobody's playing games. There's nobody getting the contact. There's nobody playing games. It's whoever's training the hardest at home themselves as individuals. So no one has an advantage. It's the same for everybody.
That we know about, Ruby.
So why can't you start straight away, Marie?
Because of the contact. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with Stephen Keddy.
2FM. Game on 2FM with Gillette. When we show our best side, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Now, welcome back to Game On. There was great excitement in the sports world over the weekend when Stephen Kenny was announced as the Republic of Ireland boss. And we are delighted now to say that he joins us on the line. Stephen, how are you?
Hi, Marie. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Stephen, it's so strange. We're all going to remember this time of our lives as a difficult one when we couldn't leave our homes and the coronavirus. For you, it's going to be a time when you secured your ultimate job. It must be surreal to kind of have the two of them tied up.
Yeah, it is surreal, really. I think it's obviously tragic circumstances at the moment. And I think, you know, being announced last week was weird because, you know, I'm in the house with the family, with six of us in the house, and you know, I think it's you can't leave the house, or you can't, you don't even, we didn't certainly open a bottle of wine or champagne because it's you're getting in touch with your, you know, my wife Siobhan getting in touch with our parents, or me getting in touch with mother, and just all of the stuff going on around the place when you see what's happening. So it's not a time. You're even, you know, I did a TV interview today with Tony O'Donoghue, and you're not even sure it's the right thing to do. But ultimately, people still in lockdown do need to look forward to something, and you know, you need an air of normality. And I think, the fact that we've got Ireland and 9 games in the autumn, you know, it's good for people to know about it and look forward to it, and particularly the Nations League and the playoff games, Euro playoff games against Slovakia, and hopefully a final. So we have all that to look forward to.
That's for sure. And at the moment, we don't, as you know, and as everybody knows, we don't have any sports. So for the next few months, we're going to probably spend quite a lot of time predicting your starting 11 and what you're going to do with your team and what kind of football you're going to play. How are you going to cope with all that kind of intense media scrutiny now, and you won't even have kicked a ball?
Yeah, no, I don't mind that. Listen, it's a huge honour, first of all, to be Ireland manager. Like, it's an absolute privilege, you know. I think it's you know, it's the sort of the ultimate job. It's not a stepping stone for me. This is it for me. This is the ultimate honour. And I think you know, I think the way we view it as a family, and the way I'm viewing it, is that, you know, we're certainly going to enjoy the job and enjoy the position. It's a great opportunity, and we're going to try and make the best of it.
Stephen, obviously you've been a club manager for a long time. You're managing for 20 odd years and you're used to picking from a squad of players in a club or at the under 21 level with guys that were restricted by age. How are you looking forward to such a big pool of players to pick from, to pick a squad from and then pick a team from?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not that big a pool, really, overall. You know, I think it's, you know, depending on how many of the under 21 players get into first teams in the UK and how well they do over the next, over the autumn, you know, with the new season coming into pre-season. You know, I think it's, generally, they've been picking from possibly 35, picking 20 players from 35 or 40. You know, that's generally been the pick for previous managers. But listen, I've been at matches right throughout the, you know, although my ones, I was at matches last year in Toulon, for example. We no one in anyone's first team, the under 21 team, had not one playing in first team in England. But by Christmas, every single player was in the first team. So I was at a lot of games over in the UK over that period. But over the last couple of months then, I sort of switched my attention to all the peripheral on the ground of the first team squad. I was at championship matches every week, whether that was at Bristol, Bristol City or Luton or Fulham or any of the championship teams, Preston, certainly looking at matches. And I think it's a good learning curve for me, good to see everyone firsthand. And it'll give me an opportunity now if there's any games within now and the end of the season or even a pre-season or the start of the new season. I think you're looking for players to try and get back into their first teams as many as possible can get in and create problems, because you certainly want selection issues. That's what you want as a manager. And hopefully we have that.
And do you think with the league being so curtailed, players all being on a level playing field fitness-wise as such, again, your first match comes around, that you'd be able to pick guys that you might be under pressure not to have picked because they weren't in a team? It'll be a blank canvas as such.
Yeah, listen, it's unprecedented. Like, you know, we're not sure at the moment when league football will start back, but you know, I do think so we'll have to wait and see in that regard. But you know, for me as manager, it's been a brilliant year to take the job, because you've got the European Championship playoffs against Slovakia, and hopefully a final, and we've got six Nations League games, and we've got the World Cup qualifiers in March, so it's very, very exciting year all round. I think I think. The fact that you've got 9 games in the autumn and World Cup qualifiers in March, like that's never happened before. So if we were to go to the Euros, for example, and we have to think like that, you know, If we were to go to the Euros, we'd actually have 13 competitive games and 3 or 4 friendlies between September and June. So that is motivation for everyone, like to be involved in that. Like, we haven't qualified for 3 of the last 4 major tournaments. We haven't qualified for a World Cup since 2002, which will be, by the time 2022, that's 20 years. So there is a great opportunity there, albeit a real tough game in Slovakia. We've had a reasonable European Championship campaign, but it's massive, massive motivation to do that and to create real memories for players, for our supporters, and, you know, to capture the hearts and minds of the nation.
Well, I think it's definitely what we need at the moment. Anyway, Stephen, you said earlier that it's your job to unlock the potential of this team. How do you go about doing that?
Well, I think, you know, I think I've got to maximise the potential of the players and maximise their talents. You know, I think it's, how do you do that? Is that, you know, you set up a system of play that suits your more creative players, and that's ultimately what I'd be looking to do, you know. And I think, you know, obviously every game changes depending on the tactical challenges posed with the opposition. You know, you don't just have one way of playing and I think that's for sure. But we have talented players, like, you know, there's no doubt about that. I think our back four have had outstanding seasons in the Premier League. You know, the back four against Denmark, like Matt Doherty, John Egan and Stephen, Sheffield United have been so impressive, and they've been so impressive. John Egan's been exceptional, you know, as a, and gives a, brings a new dimension to the Irish team, I think, as a defender. And the Stephens, his ability to get out of tight areas, and his overlapping and ability crossing. Matt Doherty possibly in team this season, and Shane Duffy obviously is a, you know, has such an impact on both boxes. You've got Seamus, who didn't play in the last game, Seamus Coleman, and he, you know, he's been such a brilliant player for Ireland for so long now. And, you know, there's still plenty, you know, plenty left in Seamus. And Caelan Clark played the last day. So, against, he's played a lot of the season for Newcastle and played centre-back in the second half against Denmark. So, those six give you a great platform with your back four. And I think any four, and we've got other younger ones coming through and other players that are playing in the Championship competing for places as well against those. I think we've got to ask questions, a lot of questions. Like Robbie Brady 3 years ago was our most courageous player, and this year he's putting it into 22. So there are a lot of players who, you know, they certainly have more to contribute, you would feel. There's a lot of players who have more to contribute, and that's my job, to try and formulate a team that can do that.
Well, we are certainly looking forward to it. Thanks so much for joining us, Stephen, and we wish you the best over the next few months and years and everything that comes your way.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
See you, Stephen. Thanks. Well, from an incoming Irish manager to one that went before Christmas. Joe Smith, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, Ruby. Thanks.
How are you coping with this times we live in, I suppose, is the best way of putting it?
Yeah, I think internally, inside the isolation of the household, it's working really well. It's nice to be home and have dinner with the family, to be honest, and things like that. Externally, as you'll have seen, 500 new cases and 28 deaths today. That's a sobering toll that the virus is having around the country here. So it's okay indoors, but very much externally, there's people suffering.
There must be a party of Joe that wishes you maybe had gone back to New Zealand, looking at the cases and fatality rate there. It's so much lower than ours.
Yeah, they had a head start. I think you know, they probably had a 2 week head start where they saw what happened in Europe and they closed the borders earlier, and because they're in that little Antipodean corner of the world, they're a lot less of a hub for connecting flights, and so I think the mobility of their population, while people may say there's far too many of us over here, the ones who end up going to New Zealand tend to be going to visit New Zealand rather than on their way through to somewhere else. So they had a few advantages like that, but they've obviously done a super job to keep the number of cases down as low as they are, and obviously just that one death that, you know, is unfortunate, but in the context of what we've seen around the world, it's a really positive it's positive evidence of what they have done so far.
Joe, one thing that this time I think has taught us, well, we know sport isn't as important as life and death. It still means so much to people, and it's something that we're all really looking forward to. Stephen Kenny said just as much there when we were chatting to him earlier. Do you think we're going to have a different relationship with sport after all of this?
I had a pretty close relationship with it anyway, and Ruby can testify to that. I love all sports, so I think one of the withdrawal symptoms I've had is the lack of live sport currently. You know, last weekend we could have seen Leinster playing Saracens in what would have been a huge quarterfinal in Europe, and I think unfortunately for the Irish rugby team, they were drawn to play France 6 days after France lost their first game in the Six Nations. They received the red card. They had a shorter turnaround. It was pretty well set up. So those things, while they're disappointing in the context of what's happening on a broader scale, they don't count for too much. But I think they'll count for plenty once we get through this particular crisis, because it is a fantastic way to glue people back together and give them something to really look forward to.
There's been a lot of conversation as well just about the rugby landscape, and we saw Bernard Laporte propose a new club world competition. Do you think there will be changes to the rugby landscape after this layoff?
There's no better time for some changes to occur, but it's very hard to make changes with a relatively disparate group. Everybody's going to protect their parochial patch, and I think one of the things up here is the Six Nations is second to none as far as a rugby tournament is concerned. So for that to be ring-fenced, that was one of the big stumbling blocks in trying to get a global, international competition going. If they could do it in a club sense, I know that clubs, I know teams like Leinster would love to end up playing the Crusaders, for example, if they were the Super Rugby champions and get to have that opportunity just to climb that final summit, because if they can become kind of kings of the North, then I think people will have a real interest in that as well, and it's an opportunity to keep that interest high and grow the game a little bit.
Joe, when you look at how quickly this virus has spread and how scared it has made people, and I think how worried it's going to make people of travelling, tourism is going to struggle. But with rugby played in so many countries and teams travelling so much, will that have an impact?
Yeah, in the short term, I can't see it not having a major impact. I think teams will get will potentially ring fence their own competition. I think it's very difficult for us to do here with just the four professional teams. That's why we've played in the Pro 12 as it was, and then the Pro 14. But with the more external teams you have, and a lot of the rugby in Italy is played in the north of Italy, where the epicenter of the European spread of the virus started. I think, you know, there'll obviously be concerns about opening up borders and those games, that mobility of people, not just players but supporters. I think there'll be some hesitancy until, you know, the virus is very much under control.
And Joe, just from your own point of view then, and your own kind of goals and hopes for the future, has it made you reassess what you want to do?
Not really. Last week I was supposed to be in Hong Kong for a couple of events, and then I was supposed to be in London and then flying directly to Lisbon. And so I'm pretty keen to have less of a global footprint, and I've enjoyed my time being at home and having dinner with the family and prioritising them. So it hasn't really affected me too much other than, I miss the sport. I miss working with, I think we have superb people involved in rugby in Ireland. And so I've missed working with those people day to day, certainly tournament to tournament. But, I knew that was going to be the case when I stepped away. So I'm reasonably accepting of that, and happy with what I'm doing at the moment, which is not a lot.
And are you comfortable being a rugby fan? Is that how you see yourself now?
Yeah, I was. I really enjoyed the Wales Ireland game and the Aviva. I got along as a fan like everybody else, and I was actually with Stuart Lancaster at the game, and you know, he and Leo have done a super job with Leinster, and it was great to just get along and support the team and cheer for what was a couple of great tries and a really good victory and a bonus point victory. So, you know, I have enjoyed and do enjoy being a rugby fan, and I don't miss the pressure, but I didn't really enjoy the pressure in those match day circumstances, you invariably, that adrenaline rush, it is a little bit addictive, and you do end up missing it. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a paradox, really.
And what about analysis? Were you looking at the Ireland team now, analysing what they do now?
I was I was trying not to, intentionally trying not to. I was just, I just wanted to kind of enjoy the experience. I had my youngest son Luke with me at the game, so you know, it was just trying to enjoy the occasion with him. And then we spent a couple of weeks in Claremont where I was just kind of helping the coaches as a sounding board, and it was nice to be involved on the periphery of a club rugby environment again. So, you know, it's, I haven't got right away from it, but, you know, I haven't got back into it either.
Well, Joe, I'm afraid I don't think you'll ever be able to get all the way away from it either, but the best of luck in trying. Thanks a million for taking our call.
No problem, Ruby. I don't think you'll get too far away from horse racing either, even if you're not on the back of them.
Speaking from experience.
Okay, mate.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Mind yourself. But there's no way he's going to be able to turn his back on rugby. Anyway, we only have a half an hour tonight because there's a big music night. And next up, well, not next up, but coming up shortly will be Niall Horan, who's probably absolutely disgusted he's not in Augusta.